David Siskin wondered why he bothered checking into the Courtyard Marriott on his bi-monthly trips to Chicago, as he always worked late into the evening at the office suite off North Dearborn. A cot in the copy room would save the business money, as well as save Siskin mucho time, since booking a room at the Marriott for the equivalent of a lengthy nap didn't help the bottom line. And as a real estate investor, David Siskin was all about the bottom line. His wife, Sherry, had knighted Siskin a workaholic decades ago, before the two had even tied the knot, but she didn't mean it in a bad way. Sherry had her book clubs, her quilting classes, her floristry, her fundraising for the Alzheimer's Association, the disease that first stole her mother's mind and then her life, as well as a half dozen other public service hobbies that never registered on Siskin's radar, but kept her busy now that the kids were grown. By contrast, outside of work, Siskin had no hobbies. Sure, he suffered through endless rounds of golf, as that was part of the game you played to rub elbows with investors and property financiers. But the actual pastime never took hold of him. However, when Siskin hit middle age and began fretting over the expansion of his midsection, he took up biking. Siskin even dumped a couple grand into a Cannondale Cad. Siskin's hobby lasted all of a week. He was biking around Lake Nokomis one beautiful summer evening, enjoying both the exercise as well as life in general, until the debacle. Some hothead in a yellow Corvette laid on the horn and didn't let up. It startled Siskin, sending him into the curb, and from thence, ass over tea kettle onto the sidewalk. Bruised and bleeding, Siskin glanced up in time to witness the Corvette speed past with a middle finger salute held high out of the driver's side window. The road bike had been gathering dust in the garage ever since. Siskin lived in Minneapolis, had all of his life, and like loads of other business commuters in the Twin Cities, he took the United Airlines puddle jumper to O'Hare and 2 or 3 days later took it home again. Siskin's Chicago partners, venture capitalists, one and all, didn't burn the midnight oil like he did. Siskin's Chicago partners were more clock watchers, golf-playing nine-to-fivers. That didn't bother Siskin. There were no hard feelings. Siskin's Chicago partners did their jobs. They made money. They invested money. Rinse, repeat. Siskin heard sounds from the outer office and wondered who in hell that could be. Margie, the spinster admin who drenched herself in so much perfume that her fragrance lingered long after she'd exited your office, had waved goodbye hours ago. And the night janitor, Juan, or Raul, or whatever, had already passed through the office suite with his trash cart and vacuum cleaner and dust wand. Siskin glanced at his Rolex Explorer, a gift from Sherry, given about the time of his biking debacle, and figured it was time to head over to the Marriott for his nightly siesta. It was then a throat cleared.